as they go along here, before we get started right here, you know that I've been having a little bit of difficulties and physical difficulties that kind of come upon me kind of sharply. And so anyway, I will be having surgery on May the 1st. And so I appreciate your prayers. And anyway, we've spent the last two Wednesday nights in the ER. So those have been pleasant experiences, of course. And so anyway, we're coming through it, and I appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your prayers. At that particular time, I'll be out for probably a couple weeks, okay? I'll be out for a couple weeks. But May 1 is when I'm going to have surgery. I appreciate everybody. I wanted you to be sure that you knew what was going on with me, and also appreciate your prayers very much, okay? All right, amen. Glory to God. I want you to go to Galatians. I'm going to see how good you do here. Let's do something right here. I said Galatians, but the first thing I want you to do, I'm going to have you to mark some places here, and I want you to go to Genesis. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 12, and I want you to mark it, because I don't want to be fooling around trying to find it. All right? So will you do that? And that will be great. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 12, mark it in some way so that you'll be able to go to it fairly quickly. And then after you've done that, I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. You know, I pray that the power of this word be released upon you in the mighty, holy, righteous name of Jesus, and that you will be able to receive the truth of that which is being presented to you here today. This is called extreme faith. It's called extreme faith. We're going to explain that, what it means to have extreme faith in God. And as we're doing that, we're looking at Abraham. And we're looking at Abraham. He was a man of extreme faith. And he was also a man of great blessings. And I want you to see how the blessing of the Lord in Abraham has come upon you and upon me. And we're going to look at that and define that. But the first thing I want to do here in Galatians chapter 3, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time right here. I want to go over into Genesis and look at that. But I want you to see how connected that you are to Abraham. I want you to see from a biblical standpoint just how connected that you are to Abraham. And that is in Christ. And so here's Galatians chapter 3, and I'm going to begin at verse 6. And at verse 6 is going to be quoting in Genesis chapter 15, which we will look at later on. And verse 6 says, "Even so Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness." You know, I won't speak about every word, but God is looking for a people that are willing to believe him. And I'm talking about really believe him. You know, that they take action upon believing upon him, that they rely upon him, that it is not in a belief or a faith that of an intellectual nature, but of a whole heart nature. And that's what God's looking for. That's what he found in Abraham. You know, and he believed God, and when he did believe him, everything was reckoned to him or credited to him as righteousness, because that's what God was looking for. Verse 7 says, "Therefore, be sure." Now, I want you to look at this. "Be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham." You know, so bang, right there, you are connected to Abraham. You know, if you are of faith, then you are sons of Abraham. That means that you have an inheritance that is found in him. Here's verse 8, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all of the nations shall be blessed in you." You know, so, you know, we know that the scripture teaches that Abraham saw Jesus, that he knew Jesus, he experienced Jesus, not as a savior as we experience him, but he did experience him and he knew him. And the gospel message of what it was to come had been preached to him. And he knew it wasn't just about him. He knew it wasn't just about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This word even says that very clearly right here, that all of the nations shall be blessed in you. Abraham knew the plan of God was to bring in the Gentiles into the kingdom of God. Abraham knew that it was the plan of God, that it was the salvation of the Lord for the whole earth to experience this blessing that he was bringing upon Abraham. Abraham was the example of that which he would do and what he wanted to do for all that would believe upon him. And then it goes on in verse 9, so then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. I don't see how you can get any clearer than this, do you? You know, that we are sons of Abraham. That's already been declared to us right there. We see our connection with him. And then not only that, but in verse 9, so then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. You know, what that word, that particular Greek word blessed right there, it means giving blessings. It means giving blessings. It means really, it insinuates that their life is led and their life is controlled by the blessings of Almighty God. They're not controlled by chance. They're not controlled by effort. They're not being controlled by connection, not being controlled by being at the right place at the right time and having the right kind of luck and the right of this and knowing the right kind of people and all of that. No, he's saying that this comes from the hand of Almighty God to those that are willing to believe me. I really can't make enough emphasis on that factor right there. I don't care where your level of faith is right now. I guarantee you that God's wanting to touch your faith and he's wanting to bring it into a different dimension. And the reason that he wants it to come into a different dimension is because he wants to raise you into living in a different kind of dimension. He wants you to live into the dimension of covenant blessings. That's the dimension that the Lord wants you to live in. And it's walking in a different way. It's living in a different way. It's having a different mindset. It's having a different perspective on issues and conducting yourself in the ways of life. You know, so we want to be that believer that receives these blessings. The verse 10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, blessed is everyone who does not abide, or cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no man is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous man shall live by faith. And that's a quote from Habakkuk. And Habakkuk is one of the oldest books of the Bible. And so I want you to see that this has always been the mind of God. The mind of God is, I'm looking for people to believe me. I'm looking for people to believe me. I don't want your works. I don't want your efforts. I don't want your noble ways or your noble causes. I don't want you to show me just how much you really care because you're working so hard. I want you to believe me. I want you to believe me, and it will be reckoned to you as righteousness. And then it goes on in verse 12 and says, however, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. I don't want to live by rules and regulations and by efforts or by any other standard or thing because I will be judged by them. Verse 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Now here's verse 14. In order that in Christ Jesus, I want you to see this closely. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And because he's talking about, at that point, he's talking about sonship And he's talking about a covenant position of sonship in Christ. And so we receive this blessing from the Lord. Let me read the first part again. In order that in Christ Jesus, look at here, it comes in Christ, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. So do you see very clearly the word says that the blessing of Abraham belongs to you in Jesus. It belongs to you in Jesus. Come on down and look at something else real quick. And that is in verse 26. 26 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Now here's 28. "Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And then here's the final word about this connection to Abraham in verse 29. "And if you belong to Christ," I wanted you to see that, "if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." Now, an heir is someone who receives an inheritance, right? And so he's making it very clear here that in Jesus, when you read and you see the blessing of the Lord that is on Abraham, that it's not just simply for Abraham. It's not just simply for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That it is not just simply for Israel, as we think of the nation Israel, but it's for every single one of you that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now let's go over here into Genesis chapter 12. We're talking about extreme faith, and we're talking about all of the blessings that come through living in extreme faith. That's the one thing that I have to say about Abraham, and that he was a man that was truly willing to believe God. Willing to believe God at whatever point that it took. And we reverend Abraham, and I understand that. And you know, he is the father of all of those who believe. He is the father. Because God found a man that was willing to believe him. You know, in most gods, it's always sacrifice. It's always a giving. It's always a homage. It's always the focus of what I give to my God. But then, how different this is. You know, that God came to Abraham. You know, what an incredible thing. I'm not looking for you to give what you have to me. I'm looking to give to you. I'm looking to give to you. Will you believe me? And I will give you all that I am. I will be God to you if you will be willing to believe upon me. My goodness, what an incredible different thing that was, right? And here's what happened. And this I'm going to read it. I might read it a few times. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now the Lord said to Abram." Abram lives among idol worshipers. He lives in Ur in the land of the Chaldeans. They're all idol worshipers. They got all of their idols. And we're not told the details of it. You know, but I tell you, you can kind of look at the voice of Scripture and you can get an idea of what happened here. And the idea is that, you know, God found a man that was hungry to experience God. That's what he found. He found a man that, you know, the idols didn't work, you know. I mean, I'm sure, you know, there's a process in things. You know, I'm not saying that he didn't ever worship an idol. I'm sure he probably did, you know, at one point. He was on a journey. But if there was a place where there was this hunger, you know, in the midst of this hunger, you know, there was a cry, you know, and he was crying out, you know, it's not enough to just do all of these things and go through. I want to know God. And I want to find this living God. There's got to be a living God. I know there's a living God. And I've got to find this God. And it starts with that cry. And that's an extreme, that's called extreme faith. You know, and that's what it takes to find the hand of God. You know, God does not bless the ho-hum heart. He does not bless the religious heart. And we're full of religion, okay? We're just absolutely inundated with it, right? You know, because we live in the middle of the Bible Belt. Man, I mean, we just got more religion going out the wazoo, right? You know, but it's experiencing Jesus. It's experiencing Jesus, and everything that flows in our lives from church life on is the foundation is having an experience in Jesus. You know, and we also put that in religious categories, and you know we say a personal relationship, and what we mean that we got spiritual terms as to what that means. You know, and that means have you been born again? You know, do you have a personal relationship? And that's okay to use that, you know, your personal relationship. But there's more to a personal relationship than that you have got the boxes checked. There's more to a personal relationship than you've got the boxes checked, right? You know, a personal relationship, you know, a relationship is a living thing. And this is what the Lord wants to have with you and he wants to have with me. You know, and that's when he found this burning heart. There was a heart there that said, that was open to God. It was open to God. And he heard the voice of the Lord. God started talking to Abraham. And then he got to this place. Because there's always, you always got to go forward in the Lord. You know, praise God for what you have. Praise God for what you know. But you got to go forward in the Lord. If you're not going forward, then you're dying spiritually. If you're not going forward, then you're dying spiritually. You have to go forward in the Lord. He'll lead you. He'll take you. He'll do it all. You got to have that heart of Abraham that you're willing to go. You're willing to go. And so this is what happened. It says in verse 1 now, the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, you know, and your relatives, and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. Boy, that was really good, wasn't it? You know, can you imagine when he went and told his relatives? Hey, Dad, we're going. Well, son, where are you going? I don't know. What do you mean? Why are you doing this? My God told me to do it. He told you what? He told me to go. He didn't tell you where you was going? Right? No, he didn't tell me. He just told me to go. And you imagine what kind of experience this was. You know, and what was happening right here. And you imagine the kind of persecutions that came, you know, because, you know, he was going to follow the Lord. Isn't this interesting how the Lord does this? He says, follow me. And you choose to follow him and you don't know where you're going. You don't know all that's what's going to happen. That was the problem with all of the children of Israel, right? You know, they saw all of the miracles in Egypt. They saw all of the miracles in Egypt. And how God so miraculously defeated the Egyptians, the greatest army on the face of the earth. They were defeated before Israel. Incredible, amazing thing that happened. And then not only that, but they experienced the Red Sea. My goodness gracious. But see, they always wanted to be in control. They wanted to know. They didn't want to follow God by faith. They didn't want to be out there in the midst of uncertainty. Well, what does this mean? And God doesn't talk to you. He says, just do it. What does this mean? You know, you want me to do this? Well, what if that happens? Or what if this happens over there? You know, I want some kind of assurances of this. I like to see the whole picture, God. He doesn't seem to do it that way. He says, believe me. Will you do what I tell you to do? Will you act on the promises that I give you? Will you believe that if you will do exactly what I tell you to do, that I said I would bless you? And the blessings that will come into your life will not come by the hand of Almighty man, and it will not come through your own talents or abilities or efforts. It'll be me. And that's the people that God is looking for. People willing to live in extreme faith. And you imagine this, and you know, and then, you know, this all comes to everyone right here. And you imagine the persecution that he experienced right here. I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your relatives. I want you to leave your father's house, you know, and you're going to go into a land in which I will show you. And so the point here is that your entire relationship in Jesus is based in faith. Every step that you take of every day is the step of faith. It's lived in faith. It's lived in faith, right? And you walk by faith. You don't just start in faith. I got saved by faith, and now we do something else. No, you live by faith all the days of your life. You know, and then here, but this is a promise that if he would do this, this is what God would do. Verse 2, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be blessed. I'm telling you right now, there's no greater position that you want to be found in than in this one right here. There is absolutely nothing. There is nothing worth sacrificing this position. You've got to position yourself in this place if you want to receive these blessings that come from Abraham through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you will position yourself in these places, then this is the way that God will move in your life, and that he will make you the head and not the tail. He will bless you. Now that word right there, bless, I want to give it to you. And so you shall be, look here, two again, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. That particular Hebrew word is a barak, B-A-R-A-K. It means, listen, a divine action. I want you to hear that. It's a divine action from God, bestowing favor, prosperity, provision, and gifts. That's its definition. Barak, a divine action from God, bestowing favor, prosperity, provision, and gifts. Now, it's intense expression, as it's called. Its intense expression is called this. I will bless. That's its intense expression. I want to address one little thing here as we go forward is that, you know, did you know there's a scripture that says in 2 Corinthians 3:12, it says, and indeed all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's interesting, isn't it? Doesn't sound like anybody escapes, you know. And we look at foreign countries, say, oh, they got it. I don't see no persecution. You got a persecution coming against you every single day, you know. You know what it stops extreme faith? Now, I'm going to talk dirty in a minute, all right? You know, I'm going to give you, oh, my gosh, I mean, the word, the one word, just the one word that stops people that have good intentions dead in their tracks. I mean, the evil one uses this word right here, and I mean, when he uses this word, it scares the living fire out of him. One day, I'm a jokester. I like playing jokes, things like that. Anyway, so most of my jokes go on Beatrice, right? So she's at the sink, and she's washing her face and everything, and I come around the corner, and she didn't know that I was there, you know, and I pass by, and she still didn't know I was there. So I got up behind her, you know, and she's down the sink. The mirror's right here, right? And she's just washing her face and everything like that. And so I decided to make about the ugliest face that I could make. You know, that don't take much for me, right? You know, but I mean, I did. I figured out the ugliest face that I could make. And I stood there right behind her making that ugliest face right there. And she raised up there and she saw me behind her. Man, I mean, I thought she hit the ceiling, you know. Boy, I just skilled her. And then she had the audacity to turn around and start hitting me. Can you believe that? Hitting me. Well, this word that scares the good intention right out of their skin, right out of their skin. I mean, it stops them dead in their tracks. Are you ready for it? You know. Fanatic. Fanatic. We love Ron, you know, he's one of us and everything, you know, and, you know, but doggone it, something's happened to him, you know, he's gotten so fanatical about Jesus. I just, you know, all he wants to do is talk about Jesus. You know, he's always raining on our parade. You know, he's always spoiling our good time. You know, he's like he's got this excitement about him or something. You know, it's like, you know, see, the world loves for you to go to church. You be that good old church person, right? The world loves it, and they respect you for it. Oh, they do. You know, you're good, you know, good Christian, right? You're a good Christian, right? Don't you find it interesting, you know, when the man came to Jesus and he said, good teacher, you know, what else must I do? Let me tell you all the things that I've done, you know, what more do I do, I need to do to inherit the kingdom of God? And the first thing that Jesus, and you know, I mean, he was paying homage to Jesus and, you know, and giving him great, you know, accolades of respect and all that. It almost looks like Jesus was being rude, didn't it? You know, right? Why do you call me good? I'll tell you, you know, Jesus, I mean, could you be a little bit more kinder here? I mean, you know, I mean, the guy's just asking a question right here. No, that's not what was going on. He's saying, Jesus, I recognize that you're good, but I want you to know I'm good too. That was what was going on. I'm good too, right? And so Jesus met him, stopped him dead in his tracks right there, you know. And, what do you mean? There's only one that's good. The world loves religion. And it loves that spirit of religion, you know. And it'll talk about church all day long. Just don't bring the power in it, which is called the name of Jesus. I remember as a boy, you know, I had this hunger for God. I had experienced the Lord, been saved. But it was just like a dead ocean out there. I find the power of God, Jesus. Everything was church. The church is great, but church life can end up being nothing more than religious life because the power of God and Jesus is excluded from it. And when that happens, all you got is a religious organization. It's not even of God anymore. It's not even of God. I mean, talk about God and everything else, but if there's no power of God and it's not around the name of Jesus, then it's a spirit of religion. And the church, our church, and every Christian is in danger of being captivated by it. And when that happens, there's no going forward. There's no going forward. I remember as a boy, you know, pastor visiting my mom and dad. I was always fascinated with pastors and I always saw them as holy men, you know. And anyway, and I stopped playing, and I went in the living room, sit down, and he was talking and everything, and was inviting my mother and dad to his church and all that. And isn't it funny? Here I was, such a boy, you know, and he's talking and he's talking, and I was just almost sitting on the edge of my seat listening. But I did not hear one thing about Jesus. He didn't ask my mother and dad if they knew Jesus. All he had to say was all about our church. Oh, you'll love our church. We got this class. We got that class. We got this going on over here. We got this group over there. We got that group over here. You know, we got everything, okay? You know, we're just going to, you know, you just come and you're going to be real happy, right? You know, and that's all real good to a point until it takes over. Are you hearing what I've got to say to you? Huh? That's all good until it takes over. And then the power of God's gone. The name of Jesus is no longer being exalted. He's like a given. Oh, we already know Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We already gave our lives to Jesus. You know, it's a given. No. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. I got to get moving here, don't I? All right. And so we see that what's going on here. Let me read on in verse 2. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and so you shall be blessed. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you will be cursed, and you, and in you all of the families, this is that, listen to this quote, and in all of the families of the earth will be blessed. So he knew what that meant. He knew exactly what that meant right there. Let's go over here. Don't be captivated by the word fanatic. If that's a persecution that will come against you, you will be ostracized because there's too much of this reality of Jesus. Oh, let's get back on church subjects. Let's get back on church subjects. Let's don't talk about the reality of Jesus. This weirdo stuff. You experience God? You know him? He talks to you? What in the world are you? No. Let's get rid of all of that. Let's go back and talk about what we're comfortable about. Let's just talk about church. Extreme faith brings the blessing of the Lord. Brings the blessing of Abraham. Here's a Genesis 13. I want you to look right here. We're going to look over here in Genesis 13 now, right here. And we know that he has gone out at this particular point in time. And then there came a division. Lot, I got a lot to say here. I won't say it all now. But Lot was with him. Now, Lot wasn't told to go. Okay, but he went. He was smart, right? You know, because he saw it. Right? He saw it, you know. So I just want to simply say this. If you're going to hang around with people, why don't you hang around godly people? And then why don't you let some of their blessings flow over on you? Because if you're not hanging around with godly people and their blessings flowing over you, and then you're hanging around the wicked crowd, their curses certainly are. All right, and then so there was division that was going on in strife between Abraham and Lot right here. And we come into the 13th chapter, in verse 5, it says this. It said, now Lot, who went with Abraham, had also flocks and herds and tents, and the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. All right, now come on over here. So, you know, this is what happened. Now look at this. This is important to us. I want you to see that Abraham was a man who believed that God would do what he told him that he would do, that he would bless him, and that his blessings would come from him and not from his labors or his works or his efforts. Here's verse 9. Is not the whole land, this is Abraham and Lot, is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right. Or if to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes. Now look at this. And he saw all the land of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Now look at this. Look at the description of the land. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoar. So you can imagine, you know, did you hear this? I would say that would be a test, wouldn't you? All of that. You know, so he says, okay, listen, how you want to divide this land? You know, we got to be fair about this, all right? You know, and we got to make sure, you know, I'll be fair to you, you'll be fair to me. No, Abraham, where was Abraham at in his dealings? Confidence in the blessing, wasn't it? Lot, if you want to go to the left, then I'll go to the right. If you want to go to the right, I'll go to the left. Because Abraham knew it didn't matter. He knew that he was blessed of God. It didn't matter what was before him. What a test before God. Did you believe God? Do you believe God? Are you really going to believe God? And so Lot looks up and says, whoo, this is my lucky day today. Man alive, right? And he saw, are you kidding me? I get to pick the one that I want and it's all mine? Whoo. It didn't turn out too good. You know, because later on, Lot gets taken captive. He goes into the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, you saw it's like the garden of God. Is that what it said? It's like the garden of God before Sodom and Gomorrah's fall. You know, and so here it was this flush. And Canaan was a desert land, you know, rocks and dirt. How are you going to live? Are you going to live by the blessing of the Lord? Are you really going to believe God? Are you going to have extreme faith? I live by the blessing of the Lord. I can be detached today from the rat race of to succeed or to overcome or to scratch out my niche in life or to change things that are beyond my ability to change. That I can't do anything about it, nor can anybody else do anything about it. But I'm living in the blessing of the Lord, my God. That's what I'm looking to, is the blessing of the Lord. I don't have to fear. You know, I don't have to live in strife. I don't have to, you know, cut out my part right there. I don't have to look out for myself. I want to be obedient to the Lord and let the Lord, my God, look out for me. You know, and then we find out, and this is so we know what happened right here and what went on. And then come on down into here. I'm going to try to speed this up of what on. So then Abraham, you know, he, you know, is obeying God. So he's going to go get Lot. Lot became a slave. He was taken captive and all of his people were taken captive. You know, it'd be pretty easy for Abraham to look at Lot and say, you know, that rascal. You know, he had the opportunity to say, well, no, Abraham, we let's divide the land. Let's divide. You know, I want this to be fair. I want it to be fair. You know, so many Christians claim their Christian life, but they don't live Christian in their business dealings and in their ways. They live by the way of the world. That's what they do. They live. Go to church, be Christian, but they don't live by their Christian values or ways of God. They live according to the principles of the world. And if I take advantage of you, of what you didn't know, hey, that's just life. That's business, right? You'll never find God's blessings in the midst of that. Which way will you live in Jesus? And then right here, so they go after Lot and all of that, and the king of Sodom joins Abraham, and they got Lot and all the people back and such. Now we're in the 14th chapter, and I'm coming down here, And let's see, I'm going to start with 18. I'm not dealing with who Melchizedek is. It's not my subject. But 18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now, he was a priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth." And then verse 20 says, "And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him a tenth of all. Now, you understand that I won't get into that war. It's a good war to get into. But I want you to know that the reason that Abraham won the war was because of the blessing of the Lord. He defeated a force that he shouldn't have been able to defeat. God will give you victories over enemies that you never could overcome if you'll live after the blessing of the Lord. And then I want you to come on verse, and then he comes on down here, 22, verse 22. "And Abram said to the king of Sodom, 'I have swore to the Lord God, Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich.'" Well, the king of Sodom is saying, "Well, we've defeated them all. Okay, here's how we'll divide it up, right? Here's how we'll divide it up." Abram said, "No, you take it." I guess he was planning on being rich, right? Because he said, you know, less later on, you know, the king of Sodom goes around saying, "Well, you know, why Abraham's, you know, so blessed like that is because I made him rich." You know, and that's something. See, opportunities of the world is not what Abraham was living on. That's not what he was looking to. He was looking beyond the opportunity of man, and he was looking to the Lord, his God, and he was looking and living and believing with all of his heart in extreme faith the blessing of the Lord that had been promised to him by his God. I just got two more scriptures here. Let's go over here in Genesis 15. We come on down in Genesis 15, and this is what happened here. In Genesis, going to be a quote. We came out, remember, with a quote. This was in Galatians that we found in Galatians 3:6. Here's now 15. Genesis 15, 5, and he took him outside and he said, now look toward the heavens and count the stars if you are able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. That was kind of an impossible thing to grasp, wasn't it? Wasn't that an impossible thing to grasp? But he wasn't trying to grasp it intellectually. He decided that what he would do, instead of trying to understand it, he thought he'd just simply believe it. And that's what he did. Verse 6, then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Last scripture, 1 Peter 5. I got to have you go there. All right. This is the last scripture, 1 Peter 5. You know, many Christians fail to live in the kingdom. They fail to live by the blessings of the Lord. We all like to talk about blessings. I love blessings. I love to talk about blessings. You know, we pray for blessings, you know, but we want to live in the way of blessing. We want to live in the way of blessing. You know, we've seen very clearly here today that all of these blessings that you see that came upon Abraham have been directly connected to you, and that they belong to you as much as they ever belonged to Abraham. You know, and so you need to understand that that life and that lifestyle and that going forward belongs to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. But now there's another point, a last point that needs to be made in relationship to this, and that we find that made in 1 Peter 5. And I'm going to, it's going to be verse 9, but I'm going to read verse 8. To sum up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Here's verse 9, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult. Now look here. But giving a blessing instead. Now why am I going to do that? While all these things are going on, my response, that sounds kind of sounds like the Abraham response, doesn't it? To Lot, right? Lot, let's don't have strife. Lot, you will go to the left, I'll go to the right. Or if you want to go to the right, I'll go to the left. You know, doesn't it sound like the same kind of response? I think it does. You know, all right? You know, evil for evil, insult for insult, you know, but instead giving a blessing. Now, why would I do this? Here it is. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Wow. Did you see that? And that's how Abraham lived. And